how to pick the best mortgage, the best mortgage company, and the best loan officer. All this and more today on Indy's Real Estate Gurus.
Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritmus NMLS number 664589. Ian Arnold NMLS number is 1995469. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix-It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome and thank you for joining us. This is Indy's Real Estate Gurus, and I'm Rick Rickma, the hard-working mortgage guy with Advisors Mortgage Group.
And I'm Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage Group. And if you missed our conversation last week, definitely tune into our podcast, Indy's Real Estate Gurus. And then also, if you want to reach out to us, if you want us to talk about anything, or if you just want to chit-chat for a little while, go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That is hardworkingmortgageguys.com.
Yeah, and if you know of anybody who's in the market to buy, sell, or refinance, please send them our way. Again, go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. Have them just contact us from there.
All right. So, Rick, what article stood out to you this week?
Which articles?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was looking at MIBOR, and I think this is the, you know, it's always behind. You have to understand that these numbers are always behind. But I like to walk. You know, I always like to walk through the numbers, and. The MIBOR is a Metropolitan Indianapolis Board of Realtors. They put out numbers and tell us what went on in that month. So this is the month of August. Should have the September numbers here reasonably soon, I would think. But right now, the only numbers they have out are August. The median sale price was $285,000. I believe that was down from...
Yeah, I believe in July it was like 294.
Okay. So. Yeah, I knew it was something like that. So the median price has come down. You know, some people say, "Oh, prices are falling." You know, the value of our houses is coming down. That's really not what this is saying. This is more lower priced homes sold than higher priced homes is what's happened, and so that this is not something that is giving us an indicator of the value of homes or what's happening. With our appreciation. We had a closed sales in August of 3,461. Now that was up a little bit, 1%. So yeah. We were just at 3,400. So
yeah.
So basically same number.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. And what we've noticed is it's been pretty consistent lately in the last few months. It's been pretty close to the same. So, which is kind of, we thought we'd see a bigger decline going after schools and stuff like that. So I'm waiting to see what September's looks like.
Yeah, me too. I think that's going to be very interesting. I think those are going to be interesting numbers. The next number is year-to-date sales in the metropolitan Indianapolis area and the surrounding counties. And year-to-date, there's been 24,500 sales. There's 29,791 year-to-date residential listings, and currently there's 3,761 current active listings.
That is nothing.
That is, and if you think about it, have you ever gone and looked in an area, you say, okay, I want to go on one of the sites, let's say realtor.com, something like that, and you look up an area, and it brings up all the houses that are listed for sale?
Yeah.
And of those, let's say there's 30 houses listed for sale. How many of them are houses that are under construction that are either haven't started or aren't ready to be?
No, those are most of them.
Right. So if they're saying there's 3,761, it can't be anywhere near that number based on what I've seen.
Correct.
So there's not a lot of houses. However, I was talking to a real estate agent, and the agent just a little while ago, actually, and he was saying that it's easing up. In fact, we had him on our show not too long ago, Jeremy Page, great agent out of Carpenter Better Homes, that's showing my age. Carpenter Realtors, and out of the Zionsville office, great agent. He's saying that, you know, it is starting to be a little easier on the buyer.
Yeah, he said that even during that radio show, he actually mentioned that people overbidding has come down.
Yes,
which that was the first thing you were going to have to see is once that started dropping, then you're going to see when people start buying price, buying the houses for asking price, then you get a lot more people that are going to really, I think, step into it, because it's hard to overbuy something.
Yeah, you're bidding higher than the list price is what you're saying, because you have so many people bidding. The lower priced homes, I'm still finding, I had one the other day, that you know, it's in the lower price range, and that area is kind of difficult still.
Yes,
because you know it's there's a lot of buyers in that. There's a lot more buyers in that. As you go up in price, it's easing up, and you're just not getting as many offers, and so it has slowed some in that area, which is really good for the buyers. Not so great for the sellers, but really good for the buyers. Our month inventory, it's saying we have 1.2 months inventory. We were down to what, 7 months, 6 months, something like that?
Yeah, it was like 0.7, 0.8 in June, I believe.
Yeah, and again, there's a lot of homes in there that are being built that aren't ready yet, but still 1.2 months is higher than it was. But again, if you judge it by what we were in the lowest times ever, it looks a little high. If you judge it by average or what we normally see, 1.2 months inventory is incredibly low. Yeah.
So here's another way to look at it, and this is what I like. So last month, closed sales, you already mentioned this, was 3,461. All right, so current active listings is 3,761. There's a 300 house difference. So basically every house on the market will be gone in a month is what they're telling you. If you look at that, that is what is crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
I mean, and that's just, it's the same thing we were just talking about, 1.2 months. I mean, that's pretty darn quick.
Yeah, it's nuts. Now, they have a price range here, and quite honestly, and you're going to have to tell us what it says, because the writing's way too small for me to read it.
So, basically, these numbers really don't change too much based off of the indie market. I mean, most of the houses that have sold are between 100 and about 400,000. And that's just normal, because the average median home price is 285. I mean, so you're going to have most of your houses sell within that time period. Now, you still do have the 1 million home sell dollars. I mean, there's a couple in Geist. I live close to there, so a couple of those I just glanced at. But those went off the market really fast, which shocked me because of the way the industry is right now. I figured those might sit a little bit longer. Now they were like, one was 1.5, one was 1.7. They sold within a few days.
Wow.
And I was like, that is crazy. But that, again, adjusts that median price, as we were talking about there. So, yeah, I mean, most of the houses that are going to sell here in Indy are going to be between that, I would say, 200,000 to 400,000.
Yeah. You know, to that point on the high-end homes, I do a lot of bike riding. I love to ride. And one of the neighborhoods I've talked about before I like to ride through is the Villages of West Clay. I like the neighborhood, but it gives me a really good sense of what's going on, because they have a variety of price ranges in there. Now, they start reasonably high, but they have condos in there. They have townhomes in there. You know, they have apartments in there. They have, ranch homes. They have, you know, decent size, larger homes, and then they have really big homes. And they had a 1.5 and $1.7 million home that were like four houses apart, one of which sold. I believe it was the higher one, but I don't remember. But I just noticed it was off the market. The sign's gone, so I'm assuming it sold. But some others have come up. But it's still very, very low inventory, and that's really what I'm noticing. What we read in here, it's why I like going out and riding on my bike. When you ride on your bike, or at least for me, I notice a lot more because I'm going much slower than I do in a car.
Whoa. Are you not going 70 miles an hour on your bike?
I'm not. I only do 20.
You're no Lance Armstrong.
No, I'm not. No, he's a lot better than I was. But anyway, it's just amazing to me to see that. You know, the other thing I wanted to talk about was the conforming loan limits, which we've talked about before, but it's still something that I think we need to make sure people understand. And it really adds something to what's really, you know, what you can buy and stay in a conforming loan limit. The conforming loan limit means this is what you can borrow up to on a conforming loan. So what most people have, 30-year fixed, that type of thing. Right now it's at 640, I don't know, I keep forgetting, 643, 644, right in there. And it's going to 715 January 1st. A lot of people, I believe Advisors has, we've we've changed it already. We'll go ahead and do loans at that, but it's going to $715,000, which means if you're putting 20% down, you know, and buying a $900,000 home, you're a conforming loan.
Yeah, which is, that's very good right now, especially the way the market is going for houses, going a little bit more than what they were 2 years ago.
Right, and it's a direct reflect of the values of our homes going up. It's all about a percent of that. Now, here's the other thing. Let's say you're looking at buying a two-unit home. That limit is $916,000. A three limit, this blows me away, is $1,107,000 in four unit. If you bought a four unit home that you're going to live in, primary residence, it's $1,376,000 is the limit.
So people in Indiana should not have an issue getting conforming loans.
Not if you're buying one, two, three, or four units. You know. Now, here's the thing. There are going to be people who, and there's houses, you know, like those $1.7 million homes you're talking about. If they aren't putting that big a chunk down, then they may not be a conforming. But what I found is those type of loans, those type of buyers, they tend to be putting up quite a bit of money down and many times would be in that conforming loan limit.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think can be a huge benefit. It generally is an easier process. It generally gives you better options. Not always, but generally it does. Again, it's one of those things you always want to talk about it. You know, any loan has to be talked about with the borrower. You know, we have to go through what's going on, the total situation, so we can really help them make the right decision. And that's just one of those. So it's one of those things. Contact us at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. From there, you go there to see all our information. Then you can contact us from there. Our phone numbers, our email addresses. You can contact us direct from the website. Just go there. That would be the easiest way to get a hold of us. After the break, we are going to talk about how to pick the best mortgage, the best loan officer, and the best mortgage company.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us. I'm Rick Rittman, your hardworking mortgage guy with Advisors Mortgage Group.
And I'm Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage Group, too. And
we're both hardworking mortgage guys.
Yes, we are.
That's right.
I don't think I would have been hired if I wasn't hardworking.
No, that's... Yeah, it's funny. You know, it's not on the subject, but a little bit off, and I know we got to get to the question of the week, but the way this happened is I was talking to somebody in marketing, and we were talking about, you know, my values and my... You know, and he came up with that tagline, the hard working mortgage guy, because that's my value. I don't mind working, so I work, and I want people that work also. So that's how it came about.
All right. So yeah. So since you got me off my little topic there, but if you did miss our first 15 minutes, go to our podcast, Indy's Real Estate Gurus, and then you can listen to us as much as you want. We won't even stop you. And then catch our past episodes and everything. So now it is time for question of the week.
Now it's time for questions with the gurus.
The question of the week is brought to you by the Reducer Mortgage. It's our inflation fighter. With the price of everything going up, call us today to see what we can do to help you reduce your overall payment to help out your bank account. And that just, a lot of times that could mean decreasing other debts and stuff and including them into a mortgage, which can overall lower your payment, which we've done that and reduce people's overall payments by $700, even over $1,000.
Right. So, and going into a time like we're in and going into, yeah, that monthly payment savings can be a big deal.
Correct. And with the holidays coming up where you know you're going to spend a little excess, or especially like Christmas and stuff like that, go ahead and get that done early so you can have that excess already saved up.
Right.
All right. So last week's question was, I travel all around the world, but I never leave the corner. What am I? It's a stamp.
Yep.
Always in that right-hand corner. I don't know how many people still mail stuff out anymore, but... I think it's going down.
It is. I know in my mailbox, I don't get much mail unless it's once in a while I get a letter, you know, somebody, you know, something, but most of the time it's just
junk.
Yeah, I end up at my recycling bin. I pick up the mail, I end up at my recycling bin, and I throw all the stuff away that is things I don't want, because otherwise I carry them into the house, and then I have to carry them back out and throw them in there. So I might as well just throw them in there right away.
Why waste the extra step?
That's right.
All
right,
so the new question is, how does a bee get to school? And tune in next week for that answer. So, Rick, we were talking about there's going to be a lot of people out there trying to decide what mortgage company they should go through. Also, who should they work with? I mean, and these are two big questions because you want to make sure you're working with the right people. So I've actually listed a few of these things out, and I want to hear your opinion. So my first thing is always communication. How soon does somebody get back with you?
And what you're talking about is a loan officer.
Yes.
The loan officer getting back to if I'm a borrower, I'm looking to buy a house, refinance, and I leave a message, the person isn't able to pick up, which that happens, but I leave a message or I email them and I leave a message, how quickly can they get back to me? And, you know, I'm one who, let's face it, there's times when you can't get back as quickly as other times.
Correct.
But I learned many, many years ago when I bartended that the number one thing I had to do in a busy bar is acknowledge the person when they got there. It may be a little bit before I got to them, but I got to acknowledge them. Same thing here. And I happen to personally have a very high sense of urgency. So I think people need to get back with you very, very quickly. For me, it's in an hour or two. But some days that's not it's just not possible. You can't do it.
Yeah.
So what do you do if, you know, but you try to, and you want somebody who's going to get back to you. But you also, here's the other thing that happens in today's world. You send an email or you leave a voice. Let's take a voicemail. You leave a voicemail. I'll get a voicemail and all I hear is static.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's on my main line, not my cell, I don't know who called. And so you don't get back with them. So you can't just delete somebody because they didn't get back. You got to understand there could have been a problem. You need to try again.
Yeah.
You know, you might want to even follow up with an email. But to me, you want somebody who's going to get back with you quickly and accurately on the information. But it's, to me, a couple hours during the week. A weekend, it may be Monday or, you know, Monday.
Yeah.
But Monday's going to be busy.
But you always have to keep in mind, is, especially on the weekend, sometimes you don't know if somebody went out of town or something like that, and you lose cell service and stuff like that.
Right.
But I know something you and I have always done is, say we're on a Zoom meeting for our company. I mean, we're not talking, so it's not that big of a deal, but we're sitting there listening, and somebody were to call or send us an email, hey, look, I can't answer right now, but I'll call you here in about an hour. You know, that quick response is so good for customers because they're like, wow, that was fast. One, he just got back with me. And two, he wasn't able to answer, but guess what? I have a time now that I can be ready for him.
Right. It's very important that they do that. And I just believe that's, you know, I've set my team up that way, because I think it's vitally important. And it's one of the complaints I used to hear about other loan officers is that they didn't get back with me, or they don't get back with me in a timely fashion. So if it happens with me, it's either I just made a mistake and just a stupid mistake, and or for some reason I didn't hear it, or I didn't receive it. Sometimes an email, you don't receive the email, it goes into your spam.
Yep.
And you don't, I don't know about you, I don't look at my spam.
Yep.
I don't get much in, you know, it just doesn't, not much goes to my spam.
All right. And the next one, I think, with communication, and I think this one's even somewhat bigger than that one, is making sure people understand what you're talking about. And what I try to tell people, there's different lingos you and I use when we're talking to each other, because we understand the business, we understand what we're talking about.
Correct.
But it's basically, and I don't mean to say this bad ways, it's dumbing it down. Because if I say certain terminology to you, you'll understand. But if I say certain terminology to a customer, he's basically looking at me like as he has no clue. I mean, you got to make sure the customer, you got to break it down for a customer so they understand what you're talking about.
Right. And the, and that's, to me, the customer, I know that that's vital. You go, I went to buy a computer years ago, and the person was extremely knowledgeable in computers, but I didn't understand a thing they were saying, and they could not explain it to me. To me, an expert is somebody who can take a complicated, something I don't understand that's fairly complicated, and explain it in such a way that I understand the basics of it. And that's what we work to do. And I think that's important that your loan officer can do that. First of all, for them to do that, they have to understand.
Correct.
Right? And then they have to be able to communicate it to you so you understand. And I don't really consider it dumbing it down. I consider it being considerate of the of that person. It's we talk in a lingo that is just different. Everybody has it in their industry.
Correct.
You can't do that to somebody who's not in the industry. So we try desperately not to. Do we make a mistake? Absolutely. We're human.
Yep.
But we try desperately not to. And I just hope that if, you know, for me, I hope somebody says, hey, listen, could you explain that a different way? But it is important that if you find a loan officer that you can understand what they're talking about. If you can't, move on.
Yep. And then the last one I think is, do they actually listen to you? So we've all seen it where you say something to a salesperson and it's like, hey, this is what I'm looking for. Well, he only knows what he wants to sell you. No. Look. And that's one thing I think you and I do quite well is we stop listening and it's like, all right, so these are your needs. These are your wants. All right. So here, how about this? I'm going to tailor a plan to help you. And the nice thing with you and I is we'll do three different plans and three different options for people. And just to break it down, because what you might think right now is what you want exactly to do, but then you didn't know about option C that might actually be more beneficial for you. So I think that that's one thing we do quite well is we try to give people you what you want, and then we'll show you other options.
You're exactly right. The thing is that it's just like me going to talk to somebody about a computer. I know what I want the computer to do. I don't know necessarily how I'm going to get it to do that. And there may be things a computer can do that I don't know it can do, so it's not on my wants list.
Correct.
And it's just like buying a home or getting a mortgage. There's things you may not know that I know, you know, your real estate agent may know that they can, all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I need that. I would like to have that. So it's really, that's what we want to do.
Yep. So after communication, which is, I think, always the biggest, one of the biggest ones. Now, then you got to do the tangible object, the costs. So definitely you want to price people out because not everybody's costs are going to be exactly the same, especially when you're talking about going which mortgage company to choose from. And I found that out when I first started shopping for a mortgage. First place I went, closing costs were like $7,000. And I was like, wow, I did not expect this. I'm already putting down 20%. I don't want to worry about the, I don't even think closing costs were going to be almost the exact or half of what I'm putting down.
Right.
And so that is something you definitely need to price out.
Yes. But you have to understand too, when you do that, you want somebody who gives you honest numbers.
Correct.
Because closing costs can be, believe it or not, even though there's very strict laws, every company seems to have different things that they put in. So you want to know and maybe go beyond closing costs into what am I going to need? You know, what does the lender charge me? What does the title company charge me? Now, the lender has no ability to control the title company's fees. So really, for when you're shopping a lender, you want to know what the lender fees are. What is the lender going to charge you? And what is the appraisal going to cost? The lender has some control over an appraisal, but not very much. But mostly it's what's the lender going to, that's how you shop it. You want to stay with somebody who's very reasonable in that area like we are. We're very reasonable.
Yes.
We're lower than the vast majority of lenders. And then beyond cost, you want to make sure that they have the ability to do the job. You want people who have experience and knowledge and understand what they're doing, because I've had and listen, this is a huge bank. I had a customer, they were financing with a huge bank. They had been trying to close for over 7 months. The bank wouldn't get back with them anymore. They came to me. I got them approved, and I closed them in 30 days. And a week after we closed, they called me and said, oh, they were laughing. They said, you won't believe it. I just got a letter from Big Bank, and it said, we turned your loan down. We had already closed them.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Yep.
So you want to make sure that they know what they're doing. That's very, very important. I know we're kind of getting short on time.
That's all right. We can sum up some of these other ones. I mean, another thing for like mortgage lenders and stuff is you want to make sure that whether they do things online or they want you to come into the store, what steps and stuff. And I know a lot of times right now is everything can mostly be done online. Now, it just depends how you feel comfortable. I've had some people that don't want to come in, don't want to do everything online, and because that is a lot of personal information. So they come into the location. Well, some of these bigger places that do everything online, you may not have that option. So do keep that in mind, that especially around here in Indy, I mean, it's not too hard for us to work together. Another one is how long can you lock a rate? Most people, if they're closing on a house in a month or two, that's most places can do that. But sometimes you need to extend. And another big one, I think, is are they upfront from the beginning? You basically talked about that earlier. Is you just want somebody that's going to tell you exactly what it is. I've seen some loan officers and mortgage companies, they try to not tell you all their costs, and they keep holding up. And that doesn't do anything good for the customer.
Right.
You want things at a reasonable time. And then always make sure you're comparing apples to apples. Now, I know that sounds like a little thing you tell
your kids.
It's
hard to do.
But there are some places out there that will do weird things and will not compare. You're looking at something. You're not comparing apples to apples. You're comparing apples to apples.
Right.
So definitely make sure that you are comparing the right things.
Perfect. Well, to contact us, go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com, and we appreciate you joining us today. I'm Rick Ripma, your hardworking mortgage guy with Advisors Mortgage Group.
And I'm Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage too. And Rick, what are we talking about next week?
Next week, we're going to talk about the top reasons homeowners are selling their homes right now.